existed.
My God, we are back again. Now we're in front of a live feline audience. Destructo has graced our presence once again. My name is Mal, with me as always.
Promi.
And this is, of course, Sake Bomb A Go Go. Stick around, grab some sake, and listen to some awesome Japanese and or Korean and or Asian punk music. I think I'm going to have an extra loud show this week. So if you like getting screamed at in your face, then you're going to love this show.
And who doesn't, right?
And who doesn't indeed? In fact, let's do some now. Here is some The Bat to start things off correctly.
Yeah, and monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Yeah.
back. I got a chainsaw.
Uh-oh.
All right, that was The Bat. I played from their official The Bat Club CD. I played Batmobile, Summertime Blues, and Jailhouse Rock. I seem to go to those a lot because those are some of my favorites. They really are amped up off their heads, and I dig it. I keep thinking I want to make a shirt for them and just surprise them and mail them shirts. I have their logo, and I've been fooling around with a couple designs. I think one day I'm just going to screen print up some shirts and just say, what's your address? And they'll be like, they probably will just send it to me because I know they don't seem to ask a lot of questions about stuff. You know, I'll just mail it to them. It'd be fun. I don't know. We'll see. I'm good on ideas, but not so much on the gumption.
On the follow through.
Yeah, follow through.
I think that's everybody kind of. You know? That's the difference between those who do and those who just idea.
Yeah. Look at me. I have a whole bunch of ideas. I did want to say a big Speedo Man, who's been on a couple of our shows from time to time. Big shout out. He's got his first break. He's going to be on Chicago PD this week.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's just cool. A bit part, but
yeah, still
on TV. Yay for Speedo Man.
Yeah.
Who knows? He might be.
Did he have to go to Chicago for this? Or?
Yeah.
Really? So, wow.
Yeah. That was a real deal. Oh. And he said it was a good thing. It was funny. When last time my mom was here, me and you were here doing a show. My mom took the initiative to be a handler, and she kicked him out. He like rang the doorbell to come and talk to us.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And my mom was like, "No, he's busy," and just kind of go away. I felt so bad.
Our roadie.
She's like security.
Do you have a VIP badge? No. All right,
get
lost.
Second thing before I know, we're bad news for you guys. It's going to be a little bit of a solo after probably midway point. The Hellhounds are on the trail of our friend Promi here, and they're chasing him down. They're catching him, but time is always the enemy.
See, I was just going to slip out on the night, you know?
I'm very forthcoming with our listeners. They're a little bit too smart.
I guess so.
What's with the Magnum PI? Why would you reboot that without...
I didn't know they were.
It's coming out like the next day or two, and they're like, it's not Tom Selleck. Without the mustache, you're like, what's the point?
I agree entirely. Otherwise, is it taking place in Hawaii? I mean, or
it's like some. It's they're just gonna make a new hip version, and he's like a
seal. Basically, it's just a new show that they're trying to somehow get some nostalgic love for by tacking it onto.
Who the heck knows? Remembers that show? Like it wasn't even that. Like because Murphy Brown's coming back, and now Magnum PI, and then Hawaii 5-0 is back, and you're like, what are you? They're recycling old shows at this point. You're
it's like, and there's no reason to. I mean, there's no reason. Like, just make a new show, give it a new name. I mean, it's not like cop shows are original to begin. I mean, think about how many shows have come out between then and now that you could have just called that, you know?
How soon till we have the next Fantasy Island will be back and Love Boat will be back? You're just going to be like, oh my God. Just. Weird. That was a weird choice.
See, now,
choice.
Fantasy Island and Love Boat were at least unique enough. Like if they were to do reboots of those or, like, Gilligan's Island or something, at least that would be like, all right, well, you know, like...
What was the time-warping one? Not Doctor Who. The one where he's like, oh, you have
quantum,
to go...
Quantum Leap.
That was a little bit too highbrow, I think. People didn't feel like, I don't want to think.
It lasted a long time.
Yeah, it did.
But, I mean, shows like those that have at least enough of a unique spin, I can see that kind of... Because you're bringing back that unique storyline, but a private investigator show or a cop show, it's just
who cares?
Yeah,
and then
I mean, not to say that those weren't great shows for their time, but tacking those names on is just saying like, okay, we want to do a cop show, and we think we might be able to get people over the age of 40 to watch for the first episode at least, if we make them think it's a reboot of that.
Everyone's like, I give it 5 episodes, and it's going to be gone. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's about right. And you're like, we're done.
Because those reboots on TV really seem to work out, you know?
Yeah, right.
I'm trying to think of one right now. Besides Battlestar Galactica, I can't think of any that really came back and did it successfully.
I have no tolerance for stuff. That's the other thing I'm noticing about my watching stuff. As soon as things get a little bit, like, annoying to me, I just stop watching them.
Like, if you were a fan of Full House, Netflix has Fuller House, but that's not a reboot. That's actually bizarrely a continuation of the original
that's
show.
That's what Murphy Brown is, except so without
it's
that
gonna
guy.
Be, so it's gonna yeah. so she's gonna be like in a walker or what? Because she wasn't exactly young.
No, she was lifting weights. They got her in TV shape because she's back. Oh. Obviously, her painter's not gonna be back because he died of a heroin overdose. Oh, yeah. That's sad. Here's some music that'll cheer you right up.
Hey, hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
Ladies and gentlemen, a special announcement. This theater will soon show a special roadshow engagement. It is customary to show scenes from this program. However, because of the starkly different and realistic nature of this show, we will show no scenes from Mondo Kiazan and Wild Woman with a Whip. The New York Daily News says, this program makes Mondo Kani look like a Boy Scout meeting. If you sit through it all, you will receive free a 2-for-1 pass to a future movie, plus a free shrunken head to the first 100 cars, plus a drawing for the free slave girl whip. Check your newspaper for all the details. This is all we are permitted to tell you now. However, we can promise that when you see it, you will never forget it. And we urge you to tell no one what you see. This program is breaking records and astounding theatrical circles around the world. Come early so you will not be one of the unfortunate thousands that are being turned away nightly. Mondo Kiazan and Wild Woman with a Whip, both in shocking color.
I'm a low line of honey. Beep.
That's right. Lulu's Marble. I played Roadrunner, Psych de Go-Go, Blue Mau Mau. Hey, that's me, but I'm not blue. And Louie Louie. Well, sometimes I'm blue.
Yeah.
When I think of my life choices in the past, I'm a little blue sometimes. I should have been more caring of my career, I think. That's the first thing. I was frivolous.
Do you think we could convince them to change their name to Lulu's Lost Marble?
No.
Because that has a sort of je ne sais quoi to it. Yeah. Not Lulu lost her marbles, but Lulu's lost marble. It says it without saying it.
Yeah. Well, we can ask. I can't remember if I told this on air or not. Did I talk about the Purdue chicken ad?
You did that not.
Cracked me up. They're talking about this. They're trying to make the Purdue chicken like hip. So they're like,
I said
the vegetarian chicken. They're talking about how like
this. Maybe this is just deja
vu. Yeah, no, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Because I think we talked about it off air. I was like, yeah, there's this ad. There's like the old farmers that run this Purdue, which is a joke in itself because it's a corporation. But the old farm hands are talking and they're like, oh, yeah, hashtag it. That's hashtag everything. And they're like, our vegetarian fed chickens are really healthy and they walk around on the earth. They're free range. And I said, yeah, they keep them vegetarian so they want to be killed for food. That's the chicken. That's the joke.
That's your dad speaking through you, isn't it?
I'm channeling my dad and reality. And they're like, yes, the chickens are kept vegetarian so they want to.
And for those of you that don't know, Mal's father was what I would like to call an opportunistic vegetarian, meaning he had someone he loved dearly in his life who was insistent on vegetarian, which means that every time she was in the room, so was he.
And he didn't really care about it. That was funny because...
But when she wasn't...
When she wasn't, yeah, he had himself a hamburger.
It wasn't like, oh God, thank God she's gone. Let's get in the car now. It wasn't like that. But it was like, you know, you're at a restaurant with her and he'd casually not eat meat. And when you were at a restaurant without her, he just ate meat.
And yeah, he was nonchalant about that stuff. He didn't care one way or the other. He was always like that though. That was kind of the cool... That's the cool factor he had, I don't... I'm like over. I like point out everything to a fault.
You know,
where he's like.
Eh. I think that's one of those traits you develop in order to maintain relationships. You know, like there's certain you figure out what you can live with and what things you can let go of. Like the fact that he never was really totally on the vegetarian bandwagon. You know, the fact that he never bought into it fully, but he was willing to to play along. You know, that's a compromise. That's going, you know, out of everything in my life, how important is this? That
he's like, nah.
That 70% of my meals won't have meat in them anymore. I can live with that.
Zero. I have zero care. Because he didn't.
I was listening to something today, and they were talking about negotiation, and they were talking about couples negotiation. Yeah. And you're right. Is a man's best line of defense in a disagreement or an argument with his wife. And they were talking kind of tongue-in-cheek, but not entirely. Yeah. And they're like, because, you know, and they're like, but it doesn't, they're talking about why guys do it, but then also why it doesn't really ultimately work. They're like, guys get in the habit of doing it because they see the instant reaction that the partner immediately is like, it shuts down the conversation. They seem happy and the partner seems happy until they've gotten away from the conversation. And then they think about it and they realize that the guy's not changing anything, you know, like he just conceded, but he also didn't actually do anything to follow through on
it. It's like conceit. To get to the quickest exit of this conversation.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's like, all right, well, you're right. But I don't believe it and I don't agree with it. But
I'm not even going to go along with it. But in order to make this this conversation stop, I'm going to say this.
You're right. And I'll be in the garage.
They're kind of pointing out like the difference between women and men, whereas, you know, like, not, and again, you know, wide brush. You got to be careful how you paint.
Yes.
But they're kind of saying about how for a lot of guys that don't think about like the long term, like, that think about this as a conversation and not something that anybody like they say that the conversation ends and in their mind, everything's gone. Like, everything's done now.
We're done. Yeah.
Whereas it's like,
that's not even close.
Yeah. And like why it doesn't work and why guys should stop doing that.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I would not want to be in the dating scene in this day and age, this world. It's probably not very fun.
Just swipe left, huh?
I'm
not even sure which way you're supposed to swipe. I think swipe right means yes.
Oh, I just would
not. You're like, I just wouldn't install the app. I wouldn't.
That thing, which is why I'll die lonely. Yeah. Oh, well.
No. You got Sally the beer winch.
Exactly. And she ever left, I'd just die lonely with my cats and my guns.
You know, the cats after 3 days would start to eat you.
Yes. Here's some music that won't eat you.
You got to give me a ride. I'm way too big to drive to the devil's house.
Thank you.
Sometimes you tell me stories from your life and I get depressed and sad.
That should make you feel better about your life, you know?
That was Lolita number 18, and I played four tracks I can't say, so enjoy.
There you go.
It's just, what are you going to do? I came out of the Publix the other day, and I was like, I just stopped. Sometimes there's one up the road, a McMullen booth. I'm driving home from my work. It's convenient. I pull in. It's not convenient. It's okay to go to. And I get out, and there's this guy who's just... obviously just came from the gym. He's like, has all the expensive running gear on. He's all sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
And he took his cart. He just kind of pushed it a little bit over one of the things. I was like, so now you pay to go somewhere and run, but your lazy ass can't take a cart back to where you're supposed to take it. There's even a corral up the thing, like three. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, that's so weird. You know, I was reading something. They were talking about something that's normalized in American society that bugs you. You know, it was like a open thing of the questions people can respond. And one woman responded with an answer that was interesting, which is she's basically said that obesity, like morbid obesity, is accepted.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is that if you try to point out an unhealthy lifestyle, you're body shaming. And I say this as a guy that's not thin.
Yeah.
But she made an interesting point, though, which was, you know, she showed a picture of herself from like 12 years ago, and she was like 200 pounds overweight. And, you know, she was dealing with pre-diabetes. She was dealing with high blood pressure and this and that and this and that. And, you know, then she showed a picture of herself from like 6 months ago, and she's lost most
doing
of it.
Good, yeah, you know.
And she pointed out, you know, being on both ends of the fence, she's like, I know the difference. I know what it felt like. She's like, I'm 10 years older, basically.
Yeah.
And I feel better physically than I did then. She's like, I didn't necessarily realize it then, like that my weight was what was causing me to feel, you know, she's like, I just accepted that's how it feels to be alive at this, at that age.
But it's not cool to talk about her.
And she's like, and she goes, you know, and when I went to my doctors, none of them ever mentioned anything about losing weight. They talked about different medications for me. They talked about, you know, what, avoiding certain foods, but none of them ever said I needed to lose weight.
Yeah.
And she's like, but I did, you know? And she's like, my best friend, you know, we grew up together. We both gained weight together. I lost the weight. She's like, and I see the problems she's having now. And I know a lot of it is the fact that she is morbidly obese. She's like, but I'm afraid to say anything to her. She likes to tell me that I'm too thin and that I'm underweight. And she's like, I'm not, I could actually, you know, she's like, yeah. I'm reasonably healthy, but I could still stand to lose about 15 more pounds and be considered good. She's like, but, you know, she's like, we're in a society now where it's not okay to call people overweight.
Yeah.
And yet it's okay to actually criticize people for having a healthy lifestyle. You know, like that, like that person's trying too hard.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how we compartmentalize things like that, like how, you know, your doctors won't even address the cause of a problem anymore. They just want to give you drugs that will help deal with the symptoms that cause dealt you. And this is kind of interesting, you know, and she mentioned something too about, you know, like someone going to the gym and walking on a treadmill for an hour and then looking for the closest parking spot to Walmart. And it's like, and she was kind of saying like, I used to be that way too. And she's like, but looking at it now, it seems so weird and so backwards where we are as a society, where we live our society is designed to make us that way, basically. It is. Heavily processed foods, convenience.
Look, I dropped a ton of weight.
Bigger quantities in restaurants than we should have.
I dropped a ton of weight in Korea. I say this all the time. I wasn't doing very much. I was still drinking a lot of beer on the weekends. The food here is bad. American food's bad. And I was eating the same kind of stuff.
Well, part of it's just that you go to a restaurant and you get a serving size that could probably feed three.
Yeah. And it wasn't too bad because I've always been fat. It wasn't bad when I was stronger and younger. I have been feeling it since I came back from Korea because immediately I put the weight back on and more. And I'm older now. So, and that's one of those things where you kind of like, you go, look, if I don't start changing stuff, I'm going to really be in some trouble.
Yeah.
You know, when's that hit? My first heart attack, my third heart attack. Well, you know, I haven't had any yet, but it's like, if I don't do stuff to fix that, I'm going to start having that stuff happen. You know, it's just really weird.
Yeah.
And I try to I go to the gym, I lift weights, I do stuff, but it's harder now.
Yeah.
And as you get older, man, it gets harder and harder, you know,
your body's not, you know, and the other thing, funny thing is she pointed out is the one thing they would always talk to her about was quitting smoking. And she's like, and I'm not saying your doctor shouldn't talk to you about quitting smoking. It's bad for you. It, you know, like they absolutely should. She's like, it's just interesting that when you have somebody over 200 pounds overweight, who's also a smoker, they're willing to shame you into stopping smoking. But, it's interesting because we've gotten to a point where it's sort of like I kind of agree, and I don't really want to call it political correctness exactly because we've had heavy people all along, and in previous generations they used to hide. They just didn't go places because they were ashamed and people looked at them and as a society it's become more socially acceptable, and in some ways that's good, you know, that people can live their lives. But at the same time, you know, I think it's become more optionally easy for us to be that way. Like dad bod didn't used to be a thing.
Yeah.
And now it is. And I mean I'm recovering from one of those. disclaimer is that neither Mao nor I are exactly pinnacles of fitness. We are not Nautilus salesmen, and we're not. Yeah. You know,
even when I was when I was younger and fatter, I was still really strong.
Yeah.
So I kind of justified it by being like, well, I'm fat, but I can also lift a car, so I don't really care about it that much. Like I was, but I had a lot going on, you know.
But with age, you know, testosterone levels go down, bone density goes down, muscle naturally atrophies. Yeah. It's hard without.
I was thinking about getting some illegal testosterone.
I was about to say it's hard without certain supplements that you can't use if you're a professional athlete legally.
I should just steal some of that. Here's some 5, 6, 7, 8s. We might be back. We might not. If we don't come back, it's been great talking to you. And if we do,
sayonara.
Yeah, sayonara. I'm gonna go score me some steroids, and I'm not gonna do that. And if we do come back, then we'll be back.
This town needs an enema.